Silo 17. 21. The great digging machine stood quiet and still. Dust fell from where it had chewed through the ceiling, and the large steel teeth and spinning discs gleamed from their journey through solid rock. Between the discs, the digger's face was caked with dirt, debris, torn lengths of rebar, and large rocks. By the edge of the machine, where it jutted out into the heart of Silo 17, there was a black crack that connected two very different worlds. Jimmy watched as strangers spilled from one of those worlds into his. Burly men with dark beards and yellow smiles, hands black with grease, stepped through and squinted up at the rusted pipes overhead, the puddles on the ground, the calm and quiet organs of a silo that had long ago rumbled and now sat deathly still. They clasped Jimmy's hand, called him Solo, and squeezed the terrified children. They told him Jules said hello, and then they adjusted the lights on their helmets, which threw golden cones before them, and went splashing off into Jimmy's home. Elise clutched Jimmy's leg as another group of miners and mechanics squeezed past. Two dogs bounded with them, stopped to sniff at the puddles, then at a trembling Elise, before following their owners. Courtney, Juliet's friend, finished instructing a group before returning to Jimmy and the kids. Jimmy watched her move. Her hair was lighter than Juliet's, her features sharper. She wasn't quite as tall, but she had that same fierceness. He wondered if all the people from this other world would be the same. The men bearded and covered in soot, the women wild and resourceful. Rickson rounded up the twins while Hannah cradled her crying baby and tried to soothe it back to sleep. Courtney handed Jimmy a flashlight. "I don't have enough lights for all of you," she said, "so you'll want to stick close together." She held her hand over her head. "The tunnel is high enough, just mind the support columns, and the ground is rough, so go slow and stick to the center." "Why can't we stay here and have the doctor come to us?" Rickson asked. Hannah shot him a look as she bounced the baby on her hip. "It's much safer where we're taking you," Courtney said, glancing around at walls slick and corroded. The way she looked at Jimmy's home made him feel defensive. They'd been getting along just fine for some time now. Rickson flashed Jimmy a look like he had his own doubts about it being safer on the other side. Jimmy knew what he was scared of. Jimmy had heard the twins talking, and the twins had heard the older kids whispering. Hannah would have to get an implant in her hip like their mother's had. Rickson would be assigned a color and a job other than fending for his family. The young couple were just as wary of these adults as Jimmy was. Despite their fears, they donned hard hats borrowed from those pouring into their world, clung to one another, and squeezed through the gap. Beyond the digger's teeth, there was a dark tunnel like the wilds when all the lights were off. But there was a coolness and an echo to their voices different than the wilds. The earth seemed to swallow them as Jimmy tried to keep up with Courtney, and the kids tried to keep up with him. They entered a metal door and passed through the long digging machine, which was warm inside, down a narrow corridor, people squeezing past in the other direction, and finally out another door and back into the cool and dark of the tunnel. Men and women shouted to one another, lights dancing from their helmets as they wrestled with piles of rubble that climbed toward the ceiling and out of sight. Rocks shifted and clattered. There were mounds of them on either side, leaving a precarious pathway in the center. Workers filed past, smelling of mud and sweat. There was a boulder taller than Jimmy that the foot traffic had to bend around. It felt odd to walk straight ahead in one direction like that. They walked and walked without ever bumping into a wall or bending back around. It was unnatural. That lateral void was more frightening than the darkness with its occasional lights. It was scarier than the veil of dust drifting from the ceiling or the occasional rock tumbling down from the piles. It was worse than the strangers bumping past them in the dark or the steel beams in the middle of the passage that leapt up from the swirling shadows. It was the eeriness of there being nothing to stop them. Walk and walk and walk in one direction. No end to it all. Jimmy was used to the up and down of the spiral staircase. That was normal. This was not. And yet he stumbled along across the rough surface of the chewed rock, past men and women calling to one another in the flash-beam-studded darkness, between piles of earth crowding the narrow center. They overtook men and women carrying parts of machines and lengths of steel taken from his silo, and Jimmy wanted to say something to them. Elise sniffled and said she was scared. Jimmy scooped her up and let her cling to his neck. The tunnel went on and on. Even when a light could be seen at the end, a rough square of light, it took countless steps to make that bright maw grow larger. Jimmy thought of Juliet walking this far in the outside. It seemed impossible that she had survived such an ordeal. He had to remind himself that he had heard her voice dozens of times since, that she had really done it, had gone off for help, and had kept her promise to come back for him. Their two worlds had been made one. He dodged another steel column in the center of the tunnel. Aiming his flashlight up, he could see the overhead beams these columns supported. The loose rocks crumbling down gave Jimmy new cause for alarm, and he found himself less reluctantly following Courtney. He pressed forward, toward the promise of light ahead, forgetting what he was leaving behind and where he was going, and thinking only about getting out from underneath the tenuously held earth. Far behind them, a loud crack sounded out, followed by the rumble of shifting rock, and then shouts from workers to get out of the way. Hannah brushed past them. He set Elise down, and she and the twins rushed ahead, dancing in and out of the beam of Courtney's flashlight. Streams of people filed past, lights affixed to their hard hats, heading towards Jimmy's home. He patted his chest reflexively, feeling for the old key that he had put on before leaving the server room. His silo was unprotected. But the fear he could sense in the kids somehow made him stronger. He wasn't as terrified as they were. It was his duty to be strong. The tunnel came to a blessed end, the twins scampering out first. They startled the gruff men and women in their dark blue coveralls with knee patches of grease and their leather aprons slotted with tools. Eyes grew wide on faces white with chalk and black from soot. Jimmy paused at the mouth of the tunnel and let Rickson and Hannah out first. All work ceased at the sight of the bundle cradled in Hannah's arms. One of the women stepped forward and lifted a hand as if to touch the child. But Courtney waved her back and told the rest to return to their work. Jimmy scanned the crowd for Juliet, even though he'd been told she was up top. Elise begged to be carried again, her tiny hands stretched up in the air. Jimmy adjusted his pack and obliged, ignoring the pain in his hip. The bag around Elise's neck banged his rib with its heavy book. He joined the procession of little ones as they wove through the walls of workers frozen in place, workers who tugged their beards and scratched their heads and watched him as if he were a man from some fictional land. And Jimmy felt at his core that this was a grave mistake. Two worlds had been united, but they were not anything alike. Power surged here. Lights burned steady, and it was crowded with grown men and women. It smelled different. Machines rumbled rather than sat quiet, and the long decades of growing older sloughed off him in a sudden panic as Jimmy hurried to catch up with the others, just one of a number of frightened youth, emerging from shadows and silence into the bright and crowded and noisy.